In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are two different shouting mobs we encounter as we consider the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first is heard upon His triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The second is heard in the courtyard of Pilate's palace just before Jesus walks the Via Dolorosa to triumph over Satan, our sins, and death on the cross of Calvary. Tonight, as we consider both of these shouting mobs, listen to their shouts and hear your own voice joined to theirs. The first time the crowd shouted was on Palm Sunday when Jesus rode in on a colt. The crowd saw Jesus coming and the words of Zechariah the prophet rang in their ears. See, your king comes to you, riding on a donkey. Suddenly they began taking off their coats and laying them on the ground. Others ran and got palm branches and placed them on the ground before Jesus as he rode over them. Someone started shouting, then another chimed in, and soon those in the crowd were calling out, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest. The priests were mortified. They knew what these actions and cries meant, and it was nothing good, at least for them. The coats and palm branches meant that the people were laying their lives and their country at Jesus' feet. They wanted Him to be their king and rule them forever. The cry, Hosanna, means save us now. It's an exclamation of praise, to be sure, but it's also a cry of salvation. Salvation from whom? The priests could only think about the Romans, whose armies were encamped all around Jerusalem. Did Jesus think that the Romans were just going to sit by and watch as His legions of followers cried out to Him? The situation could become explosive at any moment. So the priests tried to take matters into their own hands and to stop the praise, the shouting mob, from singing the Lord's praises. Pushing their way through the crowd, they came to Jesus and said, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But Jesus replied, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Jesus had no intention of quieting the mob. Indeed, He rejoiced in their cries and rejoiced with them that the hour of salvation was at hand. But their idea, the crowd's idea of salvation and the salvation Jesus knew was coming, were two different things. The priests were in fact correct. The people were looking for an earthly Savior to make Jesus their earthly King. They expected Jesus to get off His donkey and mount a horse. They wanted Jesus to get rid of His teacher's robes and don a general's armor. They wanted a king, like David had been centuries before. And in Jesus, they thought they had just the king they wanted. Jesus, though, had another idea of salvation, one that would take Him far from the cheering crowds and shouting mobs. For Jesus, salvation meant that He would walk alone to do what He had come into the world to do on Mount Calvary. Then we fast forward just 4 days later, late Thursday night, the chief priests and teachers of the law managed to do what no one thought they could do. Arrest Jesus during Passover with no one around. Thanks to the inside information provided by Judas, they were able to place Jesus under arrest and not have a riot ensue. A quick trial, and Jesus was sent off to Pilate for condemnation and death. The only problem was that Pilate didn't cooperate in the way that the Jewish leaders had wished. They simply wanted Him to sign the order of execution and let them get on with their lives. But instead of simply taking the priest's word that Jesus was guilty, Pilate wanted to find out for himself. So, taking Jesus inside his palace, he left the priests outside. They knew that it would only take a few minutes before Pilate would figure out that he was not the revolutionary they were charging him to be. They knew that Pilate would set Jesus free unless they could convince him otherwise. And these priests were no dummies. They had planned for this. They knew how to play politics. If Pilate would not simply grant their request and simply sign the order of execution, they'd pressure him into doing so. Pilate was a politician, after all, and all politicians listen to crowds. No true politician will act against the will of the people. It's just political suicide to do so. If Pilate could be convinced that enough people wanted Jesus dead, then he would cave in and put Jesus to death. So the priests provided a second crowd that Holy Week. The first crowd they tried to hush on Palm Sunday, this crowd they provided in Pilate's courtyard to shout so that their will may be done. Pilate came out with Jesus by his side only to find this huge mob of angry faces shouting for Jesus' blood. Of course, this was a carefully screened crowd put there to do the priest's bidding. The priests were the cheerleaders. The people shouted what they were told to shout. This shouting mob was a select group of people chosen to do one thing, to cry out on cue for Jesus' crucifixion. And cry out, they did. The moment Pilate came outside, the crowd shouted for Jesus' blood. Kill him! Crucify him! Nail him to the cross! Pilate couldn't believe his ears. Crucify him? Why? On what charge? But the only reply he got was, crucify, crucify, crucify. What a dilemma for Pilate. You can't help but feel a little sorry for the man. He wanted to do the right thing, but he was also wanting to keep his office. So he did what any good politician might do. He tried to pass the buck. He sent Jesus to Herod. There, now I'm out of this mess, he thought. But Herod knew how to play politics as well, and so he sent Jesus back to Pilate. So Pilate made a second political maneuver to try to get out of this mess. He brought out a well-known and ruthless murderer and thief named Barabbas, stood him beside Jesus, and announced to the crowd that he would set one of these prisoners free. He was sure that the crowd would choose Jesus. How could they possibly choose Barabbas? But the priests in charge had someone shout out Barabbas. And suddenly the shouting mob joined in the chorus. Barabbas! We want Barabbas! Set Barabbas free! Dumbfounded, Pilate asked, but what about Jesus? The shouting mob replied, kill him! Away with him! Crucify! 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 Amazed by this, and still desiring to get out of this mess without putting an innocent man to death, Pilate tried one final political maneuver. He decided to have Jesus scourged, hoping that would satisfy the crowd's thirst for blood. When Jesus was returned to Pilate after the severe flogging he underwent, he was a bloody mess. The soldiers had put a purple robe on him and had placed a crown of thorns upon his head. Surely seeing the man beaten and humiliated like this would move the crowd, Pilate thought. Surely seeing a fellow Jew disgraced by the Romans like this would make them call out for Jesus' freedom. So bringing Jesus out before the crowd and pointing to Him, Pilate cried out, "Here is the man." What he meant by that was, look. Look at Him now. Are you satisfied? He has been punished severely for crimes He did not commit. Surely this is enough. But the sight of Jesus bloodied and beaten only enraged this crowd all the more. His beating and humiliation merely whetted their appetite for His death. Kill Him! Away with Him! Crucify! 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 They continued to shout. Pilate tried to reason with them one last time, but he soon learned that the mob was no longer listening. They were ripping their clothes and throwing dirt in the air. They were crying and shouting, condemning Jesus to death. And Pilate heard that constant refrain of crucify, 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 and it wouldn't stop. He knew that this crowd would not be satisfied until Jesus was hanging on a cross. So reluctantly, finally, he gave in to the shouting mob, signed the order of execution, and had Jesus put to death. When we hear the cries of the two shouting mobs during our Lord's Passion, one shouting words of praise as he rode in, the other cries of death as he received his sentence, we applaud the one and condemn the other. But the truth is, my friends, that we, each one of us, are part of both crowds. We shout words of praise to our Lord, yet we also condemn Him to death. With the same mouth, with the same tongues, we cry out, Hosanna and crucify. Whether we like to admit it or not, the truth is that we are a part of that ugly Good Friday mob. We are standing there calling with the crowd for Jesus' death. Each time we disobey our Lord, each time we turn from Him in sin, we shout again that Jesus deserves to die. For Jesus would not have died except for our sin. He would not have given His life on the cross, but that we disobey God time and time again. And every time we do, every time we turn away from God, we shout by our words, actions, and deeds, and thoughts, crucify. Every time we fail to love God with all our heart, body, mind, and soul, and every single time we fail to love our neighbor as ourselves, we shout with that angry mob, kill him. Repent. Hear your voice, yes, yours, and mine too. Hear your voice joined to that angry mob on Good Friday. For it is only then, dear Christians, only then that you can join your voice to those of the Palm Sunday crowd. It is only when you see your sin and come face to face with the knowledge of your guilt that you will be led to cry out with a generous and a sincere heart, Hosanna, save me now. Save me, Lord. Take my sins away and grant me new life with you. Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on me. The awesome good news is that when we come to such repentance, God hears our shout, our cry for mercy. He forgives our sins, all of them, for Jesus' sake. Jesus said that when He was raised up, He would call all people to Himself. He calls us, dear friends, to His cross. There we find forgiveness and new life. There Jesus shed His blood, taking our sin on His own back, granting us in return His mercy and grace. At the cross, we are forgiven. And now, with those same mouths, we can shout aloud with joy, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes to forgive us. Blessed is he who comes to give us new life through baptism in his name. Blessed is he who says, go in peace. I forgive you all your sins. Blessed is Jesus crucified for us. Listen, as we approach the holiest week in the church year, listen to the shouting mobs and know that we shout aloud with them. With our sins, we shout crucify, but in repentance, we shout Hosanna. All praise to God our Father who sent forth His Son, who now receives the praises, the shouts of countless angels and the innumerable saints in heaven. May our voices finally be joined to theirs now and throughout eternity. In Jesus' name, Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.